Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey, everybody. Today, we're debating Trump versus Biden, and we are starting right now with Alex Stein's opening. Thanks for being with us. Alex Stein, the floor is all yours.
Well, thank you, James. It's always a pleasure to come on your program, Modern Day Debate. I don't come on here enough.
Today, we're debating Trump versus Biden. We are starting.
I'm hearing a little echo. And it's a pleasure to debate you, JF. I think this is our second time on this program. And what is the topic tonight? Tonight, we're debating Trump versus Biden. And I think anybody that's paying attention whatsoever knows that Donald Trump is the much better presidential candidate than Joe Biden. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that Donald Trump's perfect or Donald Trump is, you know, even the most moral human being. As a matter of fact, the fact that he has even slept with some ladies and, you know, has some controversies to me humanizes him and makes him seem more like a real person, unlike a lot of the politicos that are in D.C. And when it comes to the persecution of Trump, although Trump, you know, has done bad stuff, I'm sure any billionaire to get to where he's gotten has had to probably, you know, step on a few necks and probably treat people bad in business dealings. I know that Donald Trump's skeletons are not half as bad as Hillary Clinton's, you know, hundreds of thousands of emails that she deleted, or Joe Biden's multiple illegal business dealings in Ukraine using his son Hunter as a proxy. And I think with the leaked emails, we can prove that the 10% for the big guy was for Joe Biden, who's selling our secrets to foreign countries in order to personally gain money and hurt our national security. So Joe Biden is a criminal, and it's pretty obvious that right now, mentally, cognitively, he's senile, and he's not even running the country. It's very obvious that we have a deep state that are making all the decisions. And you know how this is so obvious, too? It's just the sheer fact that Joe Biden even admits that he can't be president past 8 p.m. He has what is called sundowner's disease, where after 8 p.m. he has to sleep. So listen, I need a president that can actually stay awake, that doesn't need a nurse, that, you know, doesn't need constant 24/7 monitoring, that can actually read a teleprompter without reading the last two words like pause or stop. So it's very obvious that Joe Biden is a puppet president, not capable of running even a Starbucks coffee shop, much less the United States of America. And Donald Trump, listen, I'm a little mad about January 6th. I'm a little mad about some of the COVID lockdowns. I'm a little mad about his first presidency not being super successful. But they obviously tried to impeach him, which was a sham. The Obamas illegally spied on his campaign, which is basically all proven with the FISA warrants. So he didn't have a chance to succeed. And I don't believe there's any book called How to Be President for Dummies. You know, it's not easy. You get in there, and we would have loved to have seen him drain the swamp. But at some point, you have to kind of play ball with people that have been there before to try to gain political power. So I guess if I had to say that what is Donald Trump's biggest weakness is that he's too nice, that he surrounds himself with people that kind of want to scam him, like his attorney, Michael Cohen. So other than Trump being too nice of a guy, and probably hiring too beautiful of attorneys, and maybe that's why he got guilty of 34 felony charges, which were all a sham. JF knows that that was a sham for paying a woman off, and we know that Bill Clinton paid off multiple women, never got in trouble for it. So Donald Trump's being railroaded, and as much as people don't like his bravado or his personality, just to see how much the deep state hates Donald Trump and how much that they will and how far they will go to keep him from being president makes it pretty plain and simple to see that he is the best candidate for that exact reason, because they hate him the most. The establishment hates him the most. And JF, I don't know what JF's going to say, but, you know, Trump has policies with Israel that people don't like. You know, he's very pro-Israel. But in my viewpoint, I think that's smart because we need less people dying. I think that Donald Trump could actually help the situation. You know, he got the Abraham Accord signed. He's done a lot to protect life. I think that he would help stop this war in Ukraine. And yeah, I would have liked Trump to build a wall, but I think with his second presidency, it will be the revenge presidency, and it will be round two for Donald Trump to get in there and fix a lot of the problems that he couldn't fix the first time. So is Donald Trump perfect? No, obviously not. But there's a saying, idolizing a politician is like thinking the stripper actually likes you. We shouldn't idolize Trump. We shouldn't idolize Biden. We shouldn't idolize any of these politicians. At the end of the day, they're just still a politician that really can't be trusted all that much. But when it comes to options, Donald Trump is the best option for president of the United States in the upcoming 2024 election.
Thank you very much for that opening. We're going to kick it over to JF for his opening as well. I want to say, folks, if it's your first time here, welcome to Modern Day Debate. I'm your host, Dr. James Coons. I want to encourage you, check out that poll in the live chat, voting for who you would vote for if you had to choose between Trump or Biden. We're going to kick it over to JF right now. Thanks for being with us. The floor is all yours.
But it's a very interesting introduction that we've had from Alex Stein, because I'm coming here with an open mind and open heart. I would love to be able to cheer for Donald Trump on this election, just like I did in 2016 and 2020. I would love to be in this position, but I had set a condition in my mind tonight for me to be convinced. To be convinced to side with Trump, I need to be sold the idea that there will be one action that Trump is committed to, that he can do as a president, and that can be satisfying to a true right-winger. I do not meet this criteria for now, because all I hear from Alex Stein, and we hear that a lot from the Trump cheerleaders, we hear that Biden is deficient. He's bad. He's evil, a criminal. He has skeletons in the closet. He's incompetent, old, and evil. Any of this is all true, but this is not enough for me to be enthusiastic about a Trump victory. What I say about Trump is it's time to stop making excuses. And we've heard here some excuses being made by Alex Stein. When Alex Stein says Trump, his weakness is being too kind. That is the kind of excuses that I myself have been telling myself for years. Trump didn't see the deep state here. Oh, Trump didn't see the angle on COVID. Oh, Trump didn't see that the Democrats were evil and that they would use it against him. It's time we abandon this kind of childish view of Trump and that we affirm tonight that the purpose of a system is what it does. And the purpose of Donald Trump is what he does. Donald Trump is a system, it's a flawed system. And at this point in this election, given the promises that he's been committing to, there is no possibility for a true right winger to be satisfied by the program that's in front of us. Therefore, it's time we leave on the side the idea that we can be satisfied with having either a true reform of the federal workforce, a true firing of 75% of the bureaucrats, or a true detachment from the deep state and a true detachment from Zionist interest. We will get none of this. And so let's be realistic here. We have to recycle the current situation to do something that we can call historically useful. It won't be voting for Biden and it won't be voting for Trump. But here's what we can do with the current election. We can punish Trump. We can punish Trump for abandoning the man that he was in 2016. We can launch for the future generations a historical message. A message that says to every future Republican candidate, you will not fuck with the right-wing base of America. You will not give us this pale program that Trump is offering us today. If you betray us on some of the most important things like immigration, geopolitics, the border, or if you side with foreign war interest, we will cancel you. We will vote for your enemy. And therefore, the only way we can recycle the current election cycle is not to have someone competent for the next 4 years in the White House. Forget it. It's not happening. What we can do is we can tell a message to the future Republican Party by voting for Biden and showing them that you will never win with a half-baked, pale, a candidate like Trump that has diluted himself for the last 8 years. Let's see some of the things that Trump has promised, because Alex Stein was making a very loose case today when he was telling us, I hope that Trump will slow down, help stop the war in Ukraine. The hopes of Alex Stein, unfortunately, are irrelevant. What's relevant is what Trump is actually committed to do, because Trump is currently doing with America what a car salesman does to a customer. He's leaving a lot of exceptions and a lot of small details at the bottom of the contract in small font so that you can't read it. So let's have a look at what Trump has said clearly. Trump said, you graduate from a college, I think you should get automatically, as part of your diploma, a green card. This is Trump not only betraying his base on immigration. I mean, imagine the flow. First, imagine the flow of public colleges that will make a living out of serving an immigrant population that wants a green card. Imagine the number of Indian philosophy diplomas being given when it guarantees a green card. So the first thing is, it's a betrayal of the base on maintaining the demographics of America and on maintaining a right-wing America, because we all know what happens with immigrants. They will vote Democrat. So forget about a future for the right-wing. If Trump is in power, he's going to attach a right to vote basically to people who hate him and to people who hate you if you're a right-winger. But most importantly, what it shows is that Trump is a child. Trump doesn't know. He probably hasn't gone into a college for a long time. Trump doesn't understand that the college base of students and immigrants is his worst enemy. In the culture war between the left and the right now, the college people with college diplomas are soldiers of the woke left. The more you make of them, the more enemies you have in the culture war. Trump doesn't have this basic understanding, which you should have realized in COVID or should have realized when he started engaging on election fraud stories, or he should have realized when he started trusting the intelligence community. He should have realized that we are in a war, and in a war, you don't give more points to your enemy. And the college diploma population is the enemy of the right going forward. The simple fact that Trump demonstrates such basic incompetence as to favor the forces of hostility against him shows to me that he's either so childish that he doesn't understand politics, or he's just sold out. He's sold out to a set of interests that we will only fully learn about when he's in power. Trump has promised to undertake mass deportation. That's one of his talking points. It will be the biggest mass deportation ever in the history of the U.S. Here's a problem with this promise. Trump does not have and will not have the power to realize a mass deportation of illegal migrants when he gets into office. You know why? It's because the moment Trump enters office, there will not be a single illegal migrant in the U.S. Here's how it happens. Biden has already given amnesty to hundreds of thousands of migrants. They didn't have papers, and he suddenly gave them papers. This was just a test run for Biden. Biden is ultimately holding the Democrat population in his hands, because there's a bunch of other illegal migrants that didn't get the amnesty, but he's never going to give them the amnesty before the election. What will happen is either Biden will win, in which case they may or may not get amnesty, or Trump will win, in which case they will all be amnestied before Trump enters office. Biden is totally capable of redoing what he's done for a couple hundred thousand migrants. He can redo it again for millions of them. And then when Trump gets in office, what's the number of immigrants that he can deport in his mass deportation operation? Zero, because none of them are illegal and they will all be grandfathered into the rights that will have been provided to them in a clap of the fingers by Biden. Trump has promised to look into the pardon of Julian Assange and to even pardon Ross Ulbricht. But this shows again the incompetence of this man. He had the power to do it before. So why didn't he do it before? Well, Trump has an explanation for this. He tells us, it's because the intelligence community convinced me not to. So again, here we have a sign that this man simply does not understand who the enemies of the right are in America. You don't listen to a bunch of counselors in the intelligence community deep state if you want to be in line with the right wing. What the right wing demands and wants is an abolition of the federal workforce at 75% at least, as outlined by Project 2025, or even more. We don't want an America that is controlled behind the veil by an intelligence community that is not accountable to the public. We want a candidate, and this is why we voted for Trump in 2016. We want a candidate that will go out there and that will simply mess the system up. We want a complete destruction of all institutions of the deep state on the federal level. We didn't get this in 2016. It looked like we might get it, but what has revealed itself is that Trump is not a trustable person to undertake this project. 30 seconds left. So I have other points that I want to talk about. We'll talk about in the open discussion. But what I'll say in conclusion for my introduction is, we have no choice in this election that will lead to the realization of a right-wing project. What we can do is tell a message. We can tell a message to future Republicans. You don't fuck with the right-wing base. You don't offer to the next generation the very same thing that you've offered up to now for decades, which is a boomer Zionist alliance, that people like Alex Stein are paid to represent and to cheerlead for.
Thanks for that opening as well, JF. We're going to kick it over to the open dialogue, but before I do, I just want to mention, folks, if you haven't tried Magic Mind, I can tell you I've tried it. It makes a difference. It is the world's best energy shot. Check it out in the description box below. There's a link. You can feel it for yourself. When I've used Magic Mind, I've used it for working on my dissertation. I've used it for setting up debates for this podcast. And I can tell you, when I do, I just feel like my brain, it's simultaneously both more energized and also more calm in a way, because I can feel like I can just focus. My mind just is just more able to give more detailed attention to the important work that I'm doing. So I want to encourage you, check it out right now in the description box and feel Magic Mind for yourself. With that, we're going to kick it over to the open dialogue. Thanks very much, gentlemen. The floor is all yours.
Well, I'll just start out by saying this, and JF, I don't want to do ad hominem attacks at all, but it being honest, when I hear your opening statement and you talk a lot, you make some good points. I'm not going to sit here and lie. But it feels more like you're a scorned lover. You know, this seems like you're debating from a place of pain and, you know, you're mad about the way things went the first time, because I know you're smart enough to know that everything that you want done in a Trump presidency, Biden's not doing anyway. You know that. So when I hear you debate this, I feel like you're doing this out of spite or out of, you're just mad at Donald Trump. I feel like this is more of a personal jealousy or frustration that you're feeling. And I'm not trying to do that as an attack, because obviously there's a time where you supported Donald Trump. So I just feel like you're debating from a place of anger and not a place, a smart guy like you, not just an objective who would be better as president of the United States.
Well, I mean, the identification that you do is not completely off the mark. But anger exists for a reason. I'm not driven by anger. I'm not an emotional man. I'm as autistic as can be. There is a rationale why spite exists in humans. They punish each other, humans. They keep themselves in line with spite. And my point here is that if you play the political game by always letting your candidate dilute itself, always letting your side side with the center with the hope of getting those other normie centrist votes, You are letting the continual drift of American politics toward the left. And I think that our generation should focus on fixing this problem a little bit in the same way we have fixed the money problem with Bitcoin. I think that my generation could bring a fix to the sickness of the political dichotomy. But for bringing a fix to this, which is a system that boomers have been living in forever, and that leads us to systematically have had administration that were at the service of foreign powers. Whether you voted Democrat or Republicans, you knew that the American government would serve foreign powers. I think it's time we put an end to this. And to put an end to this, you have to take revenge when your own side betrays you. This is what we need to learn. Basically, what I would tell people who think that this is an emotional argument, I would say you're playing a game. It's politics. And in the game of politics, if you don't have a move when you get betrayed by your own side, then you're going to get the politics that the boomer have had for 40 years, which is a politic that constantly slides toward the left and the center, a politics in which the right wing ends up being deprived of any real option. The way we develop an option for ourselves is by punishing our own side. It's too bad that it's that way. I would like to be in an America where I can just carelessly vote about who's closer to my interest. But we need to realize when no one is closer to our interest and when the whole system is converging away from our interest.
Well, I mean, I think you do have a point, but when you talk about our common interests, I think that you and I have a lot of the same interests. So getting Donald Trump, having Joe Biden be the president instead of Donald Trump will only hurt our interests even more. We'll only make immigrants come here more. We'll only make our country slide and inflation get worse and make the middle class even smaller. So you know that. So you would rather see the country in a worse position all because you're mad about the way that Donald Trump was treated. But you also know this, JF, that everybody on the right side, that they were freaking sandbagging Donald Trump the entire time. People that were supposedly on his side were doing stuff behind the scenes that only hurt Donald Trump. So you know that Donald Trump's not beloved even in his own party. So what are you going to do with that? I mean, how are you supposed to be a president when people on your own side or backstabbing you constantly? So that's why I think Donald Trump is in a unique situation, because even the establishment Republicans all hate Donald Trump. And I'm sure, JF, you don't like the establishment Republicans either, like Dan Crenshaw and these people that want to send everybody to go to war and die. I think you would agree that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And this, the fact that Donald Trump is the enemy of these rhino warmongers, military industrial complex shills, makes me like Donald Trump. And I think you'd probably agree with that.
When you play the enemy of my enemy is my enemy, you can end up, unfortunately, pulling in a direction that is completely opposite. And I agree with your diagnosis about Donald Trump. Donald Trump got betrayed from the inside and from the outside and from all directions, really, from media to the justice system, to the Democrats, to even the medical establishment with COVID. Now, that shows something, that there's two ways to interpret this diagnosis. And up to now, I think that the diagnosis has been very childish, which is why I want to encourage people to move on to a more severe diagnosis. It's either you see Donald Trump as an eternal victim, or at some point, you have to realize that Donald Trump is just truly incompetent, or just truly so evil that he's actually willing to frame himself into being played by his inside. In both cases, it makes him inept to undertake a right-wing project or a project of cleaning of the deep state or drain the swamp, call it whatever you want. He's too incompetent to do it. And you talk about, will America suffer under a Biden presidency? Well, I don't know that there will be more immigrants under a Biden presidency, because when Trump comes to take office, he will be faced with amnesty of all current migrants given by Biden. And so what we will have is perhaps some good management of the border, But I don't think that there will be fundamentally a difference in the number of immigrants that come into the US, especially if he enacts his program of a diploma with a green card. To the contrary, it seems that Trump wants to create incentives for people to come to America this time. Now, this is a very different Trump than the 2016. But as long as he's onto this program, I cannot believe that Trump is a better manager for the U.S., given that he will not care about maintaining the demographics of the U.S. into a white Christian demographic. You have 1.3 billion Indians out there. They are 3 to 4 times more just in India than the full population of the U.S. right now. These people will be extremely happy to have a green card and a diploma deal from Trump. They have no problem coming in and graduating in philosophy of whatever you want them to graduate in. It will be totally useless, and it will be a total replacement of the white demographics of the U.S. And this is what Trump is offering us. So you say that under Biden there will be more migrants. I don't know that it's the case.
Oh, well, Jeff, I can tell that you're really frustrated with Donald Trump saying that he would give college graduates green cards. That's not technically citizenship, but I mean, let's just compare apples and oranges, even though they're different. A college grad coming here from India and then potentially working for like a Fortune 500 company in their information technology or, you know, that I see seems like a good thing. Now, having a Venezuelan immigrant,
it's not a good thing.
Well, let me just say this
it's
real quick.
It's a very bad thing.
But compare,
and it's a signature
but Jeff, let me compare it to this real quick. Let me just finish what I'm saying is, even you would agree that having a tech person from India, while yes, you don't like that it I guess makes less white people, and I see your, you know, whatever your point is with that. But my point is, wouldn't it be better to give that person citizenship over a Venezuelan immigrant with a long criminal history that goes and sexually assaults Lake and Riley, murders Lake and Riley? I mean, wouldn't you say that an immigrant that graduated college is much less likely to murder or kill or rape or steal? So immigration is going to happen. America's a melting pot. I mean, we're not going to have no immigration. I don't think any politician wants no immigration. But we just want to make it where it's legal immigrants that want to come here and make the country better. And with that in mind, a person that wants to come to this country, go ahead. I mean, as long as they're not some criminal, if they want to come here and learn a trade and study, I don't understand how that is bad overall for the country. So you just don't want any immigration whatsoever?
Well, I want it to be severely restricted, much more than what Trump has let be heard here. I think you make a... You make a comparison between two wrongs. Well, is there some sort of immigration that's worse than Indian immigration? Well, okay, maybe there is. It's not because two wrongs don't make a right. And I was about to say it is a Trump signature to be opening the job market to other races than whites. Here you have employment growth by race. You have blacks benefiting from the Trump economic boom in 2019. You have Asians. You have Hispanics. Basically, everyone is being served new jobs under a Trump growth. But the fact is, white people's representation on the job market is reducing. So you have a Trump economic boom that basically white people have not been benefiting from at all. And this is on his record, on what we know he's going to do. And he was much more hostile to immigration in 2016 than he is now. So if anything, we're going to see worse than this. We're going to see a total replacement of the white heterosexual male from the workforce in America. This is grave. This has consequences. And even if you can find me migrants that aren't rapists, like Alex Stein makes the argument for, I don't know how it looks when you have 600 million people who come from outside America eventually form the full majority of this country. It's very easy to say, oh, this particular individual hasn't committed a crime. But have 50%, 75%, 90% of your population formed by this population, and suddenly the crimes show up in the same way they show up in the countries they come from.
Well, Jeff, you and I would agree that I think white people are being persecuted in America, but you know this, that DEI and all of these schools and the institutionalization of America and making a CRT critical race theory and making, white people feel guilty and reparations, all that movement was started way before Trump. You know that. How's Trump just going to get in there and change all that when that system's a lot bigger than just one guy, Jeff? You know that this is a push for globalism that's been happening probably since the 50s, I guess, really strongly. So how's Donald Trump going to fix that? Globalism is a nightmare, but that's what's happening. One man can't fix all that. You know that, Jeff. You're smart enough to understand that.
Well, how do we fix that? That is the question. My answer tonight is we farm better candidates. We impose standards for our side. What we need at the head of America is a radical extremist. We need radical extremists in the office, in the state, in the court, in the judges' seats, at the Supreme Court, everywhere. And they need to be so radical that there is no way to buy them. There is no way to buy them out. And this is not what I see on Trump. And therefore, until I see this, I will not be enthusiastically cheerleading for a fake right in America.
Well, you know how politics work in America, and you know how AIPAC controls a lot of politics, how they can put more money into a political campaign than basically any other organization. So this Donald Trump's not going to be able to stop AIPAC. Donald Trump's not going to be able to stop all of these political action committees. I mean, that's just not realistic. So to have Donald Trump just come in.
Exactly. Therefore, let us finish Donald Trump and wait for better.
Okay, but Jeff, who is better? I mean, who is of these two options, who would you like? Ron DeSantis?
Right
I mean,
now,
Nikki Haley?
amazingly, Vivek Ramaswamy even is more extremist than Trump,
I would agree,
is
but
more
Trump's going to
radical
have
than
him in
Trump.
his cabinet. So, I mean, you
Ah,
think.
that's what you say. What I see is a Trump aligning with Nikki Haley,
Which
J.D.
I hope doesn't
Vance.
happen. Sure, Jeff, if he aligns with Nikki Haley, it's going to make me sick because she's a military industrial complex. She sucks. She just wants to blow people up. Don't get me wrong. And I did see his comment recently where he said that he wants to include her. But I don't know what else to do with this guy
I
when
think
you're.
I just won the debate, James. I think we can
No, you
end
didn't just win the
here.
debate. My point is, there are
He,
people in his cabinet that
all
I
that
don't like.
Alex Stein has to offer to the people tonight is hope. He hopes it won't
Yes,
happen.
hope. That's what won
He hopes
Obama,
that,
the
well,
2008,
stop
dude.
hoping because Trump has already confirmed that Nikki Haley will be part of his team. She will
Potentially,
be part
yes.
of his team
She's not going to be
somehow.
vice
That is
president, though,
stated on
JF.
the record by Trump.
She's not going to be the vice president, which is the most important thing. And
She's
if she's.
gonna be on the team, and there are some positions in the Trump administration, like staff and personal in the White House, that are actually more important than vice president. John Podesta has been having more influence by just picking the staff onto the Democrat Party than any vice president in the history of the U.S.
JF, once again, I'm not personally attacking you, but you're talking good about John Podesta, and you know that you got a grant from Jeffrey Epstein, and now you're defending John Podesta. Are you kidding, JF? You're kidding me, dude. You know that these people, you know Podesta is a scumbag. You know that. He is super powerful. I'll give you that. He's very powerful. He
There
basically
you
ran
go.
the Clinton campaign. But the guy's a scumbag. What the hell? We don't want Podesta calling the shots. You would rather have Podesta sending emails about maps and child-related pizza and all this. You know he's a scumbag. Why even bring up John Podesta?
Ah, well, I want to bring him up for a reason, Alex. I want you to realize that Nikki Haley right now could very well be the future John Podesta of the Republican Party. The actor behind the veil, making sure that all stays in line with AIPAC, all stays in line with Zionism, and that all of the genocides go on just the way she likes it.
And JF, I'm not going to try to, I'm not going to, everybody gets labeled anti-Semitic or whatever. But, isn't that what people really get mad about Trump is that he's friendly with Israel? And wouldn't you think a person, and I know you're probably going to say it's not worth it, but Israel, the Jewish people, very powerful. Why would you not want to align with them? Why would you want to go against them? I mean, that's what he gets criticized for so much. But I think that's smart if you're a leader. You want to try to make people happy. You don't want to just alienate foreign countries that are incredibly powerful. So, I mean, is that one of the reasons you don't like him, is that Trump is so supportive of Israel?
Definitely, it's one of the reasons. Now, I don't think that the future is easy for Jews and for Zionists. I believe that just like the medical establishment has completely decredibilized themselves in the COVID crisis, I believe that the Jews with Israel and with the actions of Israel in Gaza are spelling out a future of humanity in which they are regarded as a Middle Eastern people that is overly violent and that has committed a genocide in our lifetime. Because of this, I believe that in the future and the next generation rising will be extremely sensitive to the usual arguments coming from the Zionist side, the oh, we were victimized by history, therefore this, therefore that. I believe that we are raising a new generation who will be completely opaque to such arguments, and that more and more politics, the game of politics and the game of PR will be hard to win for the Jews. I see a future in 20, 30 years down the line where people just cannot win the presidency if they are as Zionist as Trump. I want to set this future. I want to create it as quickly as possible. And right now, the action that we can take to make it happen is punish Trump and make him realize that he cannot.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Win without his own base.
JF, you're basically Ilhan Omar or AOC at this point. I mean, that's who you're aligning with when you make that statement, which is fine, but it just blows my mind that you'd rather align yourself with Ilhan Omar, who married her brother, than Donald Trump, a guy that at least stands up for more of what you believe in than Ilhan Omar. So, listen, I get it. I see that
But
debate.
just given that I was friends with Jeff Epstein, Ilhan Omar is kind of improving my social network toward the up.
But see, this is the other thing is, Jeff, is like, you know that Donald Trump is a good, overall, he's likable, he's entertaining, he creates drama. I think he is a good debater, he's a good negotiator, he's a leader. There are a lot of good things about Donald Trump. Would you at least agree with that? Or you think everything is bad about Donald Trump, JF?
I think he's entertaining. He's funny. I still laugh, and I laughed at his performance of the debate. And he did a couple of good, and it was a good strategy that he operated against Biden to be calm and withdrawn and to kind of let Biden commit the mistakes. And I would tell you, I'm actually still open-minded. I haven't heard anything from you tonight to make me change my mind, but I'm very attentive to what Trump will have to say in the next 2, 3 months. And all I ask for is that Trump comes with one thing that fully satisfied my thirst for a right-wing federal administration, a real one. And if he can make America progress on one front in a way that aligns with my preferences, I'm still willing to cheer for him. But until I get a single sign from him, I'm going to take the hard stance and I'm going to withdraw myself from the wash my hands of this election.
Well, you admit that you like Vivek Ramaswamy, who is potentially going to be his VP. So, if Vivek was his VP, would you change? Would you do an about face
If
and
Vivek
flip
is
four?
the VP and Trump says, I want to fire 75% of the bureaucrats federally, I'd be very enthusiastic. But it doesn't seem to be happening.
You don't think
Doesn't seem
Donald
to be
Trump, but
happening.
you don't think that he will go after. I know he said he wants to build a new building, but you don't think that he will shake up the FBI or CIA and deep state. You really don't think so?
No, and this is what's so disappointing because he has promised to drain the swamp in 2016. So we were supposed to get a swamp fully drained by 2018, 2019. We didn't get it. Instead, we got a Trump who is folding to the deep state and who is extremely incompetent at managing the political hostility against him. And not only did he not drain the swamp, he sided with it in many cases. He sided with the intelligence community coming to him. He trusted them. He trusted them when they were asking for strikes in Syria. He's always been, and he trusted them when they told him to close the country, basically, although he didn't do it himself, but he let the country be closed under COVID. So we have a man who's too trusting here, way too trusting to undertake the kind of project I want to see for the U.S.
But JF, you're trolling by saying that you like Joe Biden. You do not want Joe Biden to be the president of the United States.
But I didn't
States.
Say I like Joe Biden. I don't like Joe Biden. Joe Biden is as incompetent as people think he is. But right now, he's an interesting tool. A tool to make the next Republican candidate more of a religious extremist, as we currently need. We need the next Republican candidate to be a true Christian radical. And as long as we elect a liberal New Yorker like Trump, we are telling the Republican Party that it truly doesn't matter whether they stick to truly right-wing views.
Well, you love babies. What do you think about Joe Biden not admitting that his own granddaughter, Navy, not even letting her be included? Don't you think that's kind of sick? A person like you that loves to procreate, and this guy won't even admit that his own granddaughter is his bloodline?
Well, sometimes you have sperm diggers. They are out there. They take the sperm of males, and then they want to acquire legal status. They want a statement from the father or the grandfather that he is part of the line of ancestry. And it's really for a money grab that they do this. So personally, I don't fully disagree with the strategy. Sometimes you just have to deny a child so that you can take care of the ones you still have.
Come on, JM. You know you have to deny it. They're wealthy.
Sometimes
they're millionaires.
You just have to deny a child.
I'm going to be respectful. And you know that. I didn't come here to, you know, attack you. But you know that this guy should take ownage or this is my granddaughter. That's all he has to say. Because even if she was his prostitute or stripper. Yeah, even though she's a stripper, prostitute, whatever, it's still the blood baby. It's still Hunter's baby. It's still his granddaughter.
No. Sometimes a woman will run away with the child and all they want is to take money from you. And our answer to this must always be no. I do not know who you are. Go fuck yourself, bitch.
But they did a DNA test, so they know.
Oh, yeah, well, DNA test, but right now, If I was Hunter Biden, I'd be flying for the Caribbean and fuck your DNA test, and you can use it there as toilet paper because you can have diarrhea when you're in the Caribbean.
Well, they already did the DNA test, and he is paying a monthly child support stipend. So
exactly. See, that's the problem. Hunter Biden is very good at making money arrive his way, but he's very bad at keeping it. He's always giving. You have to make money arrive to you and put it in Bitcoin in a place where it's not seizable. Hunter forgot this aspect. I think he can improve on this in the future.
Well, you mentioned Ross Ulbricht, who is the creator of Silk Road, who is in jail, and Trump at the Libertarian National Convention said that he would pardon him. That would make you happy if he did that. Would that be correct?
I would be very happy, yeah. But at the same time, I know it's a Trump promise that he should have made happen before. The only reason he didn't pardon Ross Ulbricht is that basically a bunch of deep state agents, intelligence agents, probably Zionists, told him not to. They told him, we want to keep the punishment against Julian Assange, against Ross Ulbricht. We want to keep going hard after these guys because we don't want the internet to be free going forward. And Trump listened. So
yeah,
Trump
but JF, you know, JF, I have to cut you off. You know that if the deep state CIA came to you, you would probably take their advice. I mean, I'm not saying that's
the deep state CIA doesn't exist under a JF presidency. The deep state CIA is for sale. You want the building? I'm selling the Pentagon. If I'm a president of the U.S.
Well, this is the thing is I do agree. I think that they should have revealed more of the documents from the 9/11 Commission report, more of JFK. But this is my point with all that. Now that we have a second time around, he can make that right. And I know that you're in Canada, but here in America, I'm not trying to lecture you. We love the comeback story. We love the underdog. I mean, the comeback kid. That's what this country is built upon. I mean, they let OJ walk free. Like, we're a crazy country. People would love the redemption story. So you don't think there's any possible way that Donald Trump could get back into the office of the White House and not fix some of the wrongdoings that he did last time? You think that's an impossibility, JF?
It's impossible because he doesn't show any realization of what he's done wrong. In fact, he's worsening. He's
Well, he said to
worsening
Ross
his own
Ulbricht,
self-diagnosis.
you don't think that he can do any self-awareness and any self-reflection and realize that.
Well,
Come
consider,
on.
for example, the vaccine, one of the
Yes.
greatest failure in the history of medicine, which has
Safe and
decredibilized
effective for YouTube.
experts.
We just want to say it's very safe and effective for YouTube. You and I
Yeah.
know. But yes, I did not like the rollout.
Consider I'm not talking about the vaccine itself here, but let's talk generally about Trump's intervention as part of the COVID crisis, which has led to a decredibilization of experts around the world. And it actually led to people to diminish their confidence in all vaccines. Today, there are less children being vaccinated by even non-COVID vaccines because people lost trust.
I
Now,
know. I would argue that's a good thing. Go ahead. Sorry,
how do
Jeff.
you rate the ability of Trump to self-diagnose his own failures in this case? How
I
would you
think
rate
he would
on 0 to
self-diag.
10?
Well, the medical industrial complex, like the military industrial complex, is so powerful that he probably doesn't want to go against them. I could honestly see why he would not want to fight against Pfizer and Big Pharma, because that's probably going to be a very hard uphill battle. He can do some self-reflection and realize, hey, maybe I should have pardoned Ross Ulbricht. Maybe I should release the JFK documents. Maybe I should. So he has a chance to do that. And you would agree that his whole first presidency, he was trying to get impeached. He was getting railroaded. They threw COVID at him. And I'm sure you probably think the results of the election were not as, those were a boondoggle. That it was Donald Trump, when it came to in-person voting, won all 50 states. Joe Biden, when it came to mail-in ballots, won all 50 states. So it's pretty obvious on how Joe Biden could have put his thumb on the scale for him to win that election. My point is, if they're stealing elections from him, they're impeaching him the whole time. His own party is coming after him. I mean, at some point, you gotta be a little empathetic to Donald Trump. I don't understand how that seems so foreign to you when you know that all that ha you know that everything I just mentioned happened, JF. I think you would admit that.
Well, calling to empathy. The thing is, I've been telling myself these stories. Basically, you're where I was maybe 4 or 5 years ago, trying to make excuses for Trump. But I moved on. I moved on from the idea that Trump is in those situations by accident or by the evils of the left. In fact, that's the very narrative that Trump is trying to surf on. I'm a victim. I'm a victim. But at some point, you are responsible for what you can do. And Trump could have done a lot of things in his first presidency that he didn't do. And this must be a diagnosis that we now do, that Trump, whatever the idea or the symbolism that he may represent, maybe it's exciting, maybe it will feel good to vote for Trump. But the fact is, he's unable, incapable, and therefore, we must replace him with a future leader of the Republican Party who's more capable. And we must send a message that if you're at the level of capability of Trump, you may lose two elections in a row.
Do you think Trump is part of the deep state, JF?
I think he has been so integrated to it that at this point he's indistinguishable from it.
So why do they persecute him? Just to give us political theater? So that, I mean, what would be the point? You know that he is getting railroaded on multiple things. So why would they do that? Just to give us the appearance that, I mean, what if he's part of the deep state, why would the deep state be going after him, is my question.
Well, that is an important question. And I would bring some wisdom here from a great author named Kevin MacDonald, who wrote Analyzing the Behavior of Jewish Extremism in the West. And he was looking at how ultimately when a Jew starts being an anti-Zionist, he actually he receives more hatred and more harassment than a white person would. So basically, what he concluded is that the Jews keep a form of ideological unity on their own side, even stronger than they do on the outside. And I would say the same is true of the deep state. Trump is being harassed by the deep state because he is for sale, because Trump has decided to feed the deep state. And one lesson we learn from the internet is don't feed the trolls. If you react to the trolls, if you give them what they want, they'll come back for more eventually. Trump has not integrated this lesson with the deep state, and that's why they keep going hard at him, and he keeps giving them exactly what they want. How many times did we see Trump between 2016 and 2018 walk back on a project that he had because the media didn't like it or because they were giving him bad coverage? Trump is so obsessed about his self-image that the left is capable of doing what they want with him by just making him look bad, by just mentioning some surveys that make him look like he's not performing anymore. So Trump is unfortunately a marketer. He is deeply a man of brand. And a man of brand cannot have principles other than his own brand, and therefore he is subject to all social manipulations.
Well, and JF, I think that is a fair, criticism is that he does try to appease both sides a little bit. But you have to admit this: before Donald Trump ran for presidency in 2016, he was liked by both sides. Every rapper rapped about him. You know, he went on every left-leaning talk show. He would go on the Howard Stern show, who now, you know, hates his guts. He was liked by both sides. And then he decides to run for president and he wins the presidency. And then all of a sudden, all these people in Hollywood that loved him had the number one hit show, Mark Burnett, one of the biggest reality TV producers to ever exist. This is his hit show. So Donald Trump's as connected with Hollywood as it gets. All these people loved him. These networks loved him. NBC loved him. And then he becomes president. And now NBC just attacks him every single day. You have to admit that would be pretty challenging because, yeah, to a fault, Donald Trump wants to be liked by everybody. But he was. He did used to be liked. And I think that I'm very empathetic that if I was very popular by both people, no matter which side of the political aisle they're on, and then all of a sudden I become president, and now I lose a lot of those supporters that I had, I probably would honestly try to go and appease him again a little bit because they supported him before he was president. So you have to see that that has to be kind of challenging. And yeah, that's a criticism that he tries to appeal to everybody. I think that that's a good thing personally.
Well, it's very interesting, this conversation, by the way. I'm surprised by the level of intelligent conversation we're having right now. But what you're doing is giving emotional reasonings for failures of Trump, really. That's what you've been doing all night. And so it's all an emotional reasoning that, oh, he wasn't at his best.
Not even trying to cut you off, but you're a little emotional, too. You're mad because you like Trump. You have to admit that you're got a little emotions in the game, too. Don't.
That's the amount of
Come
emotion
on,
I have
JF. You
this
know
song.
You're hurt. You know you're mad because you would have liked to have seen him be harder on immigration. You'd like to see him be anti-Zionism. I think that those are, you know, valid points from your perspective. And that's probably why you're mad at him. But there are some things that you like about Trump. You supported Donald Trump. And so I think that's why it's kind of like a scorned ex-girlfriend or a scorned lover. You know what I mean? You're a little hurt. And that's okay. I'm a little hurt, too. You know, life's not perfect. We can admit that, you know, it happens.
Well, I mean, you're trying to bring this on the psychological territory. I only care about the game theory of it. And I have a really cold, rational analysis of this all. And the fact is, voting for Trump right now is not a very intelligent project for the future of America. Like, looking at it 20, 30 years down the line, what kind of message are we sending if we say that our vote is bought, if you can just be fun and just be harassed a little bit by the left? We will get the future politicians we deserve. And right now, if you want to be a cheerleader for anyone who's hated by the left will continue to create scarecrows. And eventually, you're going to find yourself with Republican candidates that are nothing else than the very scarecrows that the left wants them to be, but that cannot advance the state of America in any productive ways.
But Jeff, you know that there's very few good Republican candidates in Congress or in the Senate. You know that. There's probably five.
Well,
Thomas
There was
Massie's a good one. I like MTG. I like Matt Gaetz. I'm just saying.
Sarah Palin.
I'm just saying. You know that there's literally probably only 10 people on the conservative side that are even likable. And I liked Ron DeSantis, but then I don't like Ron DeSantis as much. I mean, I don't dislike him, but I'm not like a guy that I really want to get behind and cheerlead for. I mean, that sounds stupid because we shouldn't be cheerleading. Like, you do have a point. It is annoying, the Trump cheerleading. But I just look at the options that we have that I know that Donald Trump at least loves his country. I know Donald Trump has been building and making this country a better place for years. And I believe that in his heart of hearts, he does want to make America better. And he's not just trying to put Benjamin Netanyahu's personal interests over that of the United States. Yeah, sure, he tries to appease the guy, and that's probably not the best thing. But I do believe that he is America first when it comes, when compared to any other candidacy, even RFK. I believe, RFK with all the climate stuff. I mean, you'd have to admit that RFK is a very flawed candidate too. So of the choices, Donald Trump is obviously the best.
Well, I have no doubt that Donald Trump loves America very much, but I am also certain of one thing. He loves himself just a little too much and just a little more than America. And when you love yourself so much, like Trump does, when you are too much of a social being, when you are a normie liberal from New York, apparently you cannot stand by principles as you enact a takeover of the Republican Party. That is personally what I've learned from the Trump presidency of 2016, and I believe we have to move on. We're gonna have to move on anyways. The question is, do we move on toward a Project 2025 style future Republican leader, a true Christian who wants to truly reform the federal bureaucrats and understand that ultimately the federal bureaucracy is the enemy of the people? Or do we continue with loose gains and symbolic victories and, oh my God, we'll finally know what the CIA has done with JFK? Those are all very small crumbles to throw at us after we've been supporting Trump through so much, through so much it pieces and hate being directed at him. Trump is giving up his strongest supporter base. And we have to punish him for that.
And I hear a lot of this, I do believe America is a Christian nation, but don't you think that there should be a separation of church and state? Well, I don't understand why, or do you not agree with that? Yeah.
Well, the separation of church and state would sound like an idea and principle that I don't disagree with, but when you realize what is being done with it, when you realize that ethnic interests have taken over some aspects of the federal bureaucracy, when you realize that Zionist Jews have placed themselves in positions of power such that effectively the federal bureaucracy and the legal system are basically proxies of foreign powers. When you're faced with how the secularism of the state, which appears good in principle, when you face with how it's being weaponized against the American people and specifically against Christians, you realize that it's a war. It's always a war. And if you think it's not a war for a minute, they take over and they fuck you up with the system that they've taken over. So I'm more and more cold to the arguments of secularism and separation of the church and the state. In fact, I believe that if you want them to be separate, eventually one church will take over the state in a subversive manner. So let us do it in open ways, and let us recognize that the vast majority of this people is Christian and should be led by Christian people.
Well, I just, being based in reality, I would agree that, AIPAC does have some, a lot of power, and Thomas Massie has called that out. But I would say that now there's a lot of Muslim interests in DC now more than ever, where people like Ilhan Omar and AOC can basically be like almost openly anti-Semitic or can call out against Zionism. And I think you'd agree, even though I know you don't like Zionism, a lot of people in Israel aren't vibing with Benjamin Netanyahu. I mean, I'm a conflict interventionist. I don't want anybody dying. I don't want Jewish people dying. I don't want Palestinians dying. I don't want Ukrainians dying. I don't want Russians dying. But it comes to, I guess, the control of the Zionists. Do you really think that that's our biggest problem, JF, in this world when it comes to immigration, inflation? Why is it always Zionism is the biggest thing? That's kind of like, I guess my point is like Nick Fuentes is a smart guy, and there's a lot of people that, say this. And it to me, it almost seems like you're using the left's playbook of being a victim. And that's what I'm saying. Like Zionism really affecting you that much, JF, that it's everybody says Zionism, Zionism, Zionism. How is it affecting you so unjustly, JF?
When you look at American history, corporate failures, political failures, the failures of the boomer generation, everything that has happened between 1950 and 2024, everything that has happened in American history has been happening under the umbrella of overt Zionist control over the political process that has been subverted
So
to
you
the
just think it's
interest of a
Israel,
for
not the Catholic Church, not NATO, not all the other organizations. It's only Zionism, JF. I mean, I just would think that there's other political interests of other countries. Globalism is not just turning the world Jewish. You know what I mean? Globalism is there's a lot of facets to globalism, JF, and you know that. You're smart enough to know that.
one day in my life, I realized that the world made more sense if you understand who is Jewish, who is not, and why have they acted in a certain way and not another. And
Speaking of
since
Jewish,
then,
Alex Stein is Jewish, and we
kind of,
love
I'm
him.
a fake Jewish,
We
and we
haven't.
love Jews, yes, and we love it for my point is,
I
listen, we
do.
don't have
Hold
to
on.
get into it because,
Before we go any
yeah.
further with talk about folks of any
Yeah.
particular group, we should probably return to Biden versus Trump before
Yes, that's what we do need to get to. So
we
my point
love our
is, we'll
Jewish
drop that.
friends. Go ahead,
But when we
Stein.
love Jewish people, l'chaim. But my point is, I think the major criticism of Trump is that people are mad that he's not an anti-Zionist. Everything else, JF, I think you do like about Trump. I do think you think that he got railroaded. I do think that you think that he loves America. And I think that you do think that Donald Trump is a better candidate than Joe Biden. You want me to convince you, but you're mad about certain things, a few things during his presidency, and the fact that he is so friendly to Israel. So I think that's the big thing that makes you not like Donald Trump, in my personal opinion.
Well, yeah, I mean, in the end, if you don't have a strong stance against the influence of AIPAC onto American politics, you won't survive the political game. You won't be able to implement any of your promises to your own base. At this point, we're not even at that point where we can ask about the competence of Trump, although I have made the argument that he's has very low competence. But we're not even at the point where there is a promise on the table. The only promises that we have from Trump is there will be Nikki Haley in his administration. He's going to give green cards as part of a diploma deal. It's not looking good. It's not looking good. And I'm all ears open going forward in the next few months. I'm following everything that Trump says. I want him to find a promise that will please his base. But we don't have this for now, and I'm not going to cheerlead and act like we have it. We don't have an interesting project up to now.
Well, America is known as the land of milk and honey. I don't know if that's really the case anymore. So we're always going to have immigrants that want to come to America for a better life, that want to live in California or Florida or Texas, beautiful states that are, a great place to live. So I don't think people are going to ever stop wanting to migrate to America. I do think Donald Trump will stop or curtail a little bit some of the illegal immigration when he speaks out and talks about Laken Riley, talks about some of the people that are victims of illegal immigration. So I think overall it will be a net positive to our current immigration system when Donald Trump gets in. And I think you would agree with that, even if you're not going to publicly state that. I know you're mad that he's giving green cards to college graduates, but what's funny is I went to LSU. I have some friends that went to a bunch of different colleges, SMU, TCU, and I know people that were here from Brazil, and they got a college degree and they had to leave right away, and that's why they do the 90-day fiance. The point is, there's ways to get past the immigration. If you really want to come to America, you can figure out a way to come to America, so much so where they have mail order brides. So I don't think Donald Trump is going to be able to stop a person that really wants to come to America if their heart is set on that. Now, can he stop illegal criminals from coming? Yes, and I think that's what he's going to make the focus of his next presidency, is getting rid of the quote unquote bad immigrants. And that's the best he can do when it comes to immigration, because people are going to always want to come to America. Now, when it comes to some of the mistakes he made in his first presidency, I'm of the opinion that he had the deep state against him the entire time, and that when he gets his second chance, he will do a much better job. So with everything that we talked about tonight, I'm sorry that I couldn't convince you to support Donald Trump, but I do think when Donald Trump wins, and if they don't mess with the election, you will be happier with a second Donald Trump presidency, even if he is nice to Zionists.
All
Any
right. Is that it
last thoughts?
for well,
Okay.
yeah, I mean, I've said what I had to say, so I think we can move toward questions if there are.
We'll jump right into the Q&A. I want to say, folks, thanks for being with us. I am going to read through these questions. If you happen to have additional questions, you can submit them with at Modern Day Debate in the live chat. Otherwise, if you use the super chat, that pushes those questions to the top of the list. Also, if you didn't know, Modern Day Debate is available on fine podcasts everywhere. Check out Modern Day Debate on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, you name it. And you can find our guests linked both here on YouTube as well as at the podcast. So, we're going to jump into it. Thanks very much for your questions. This one coming in from Gordzilla37 says, when's JF going to argue for Biden per se? Is that not this side of the debate, namely his side of the debate? I'll give you a
Well,
chance.
that is true. I want to let Jeff answer that. I mean, Jeff, all you did was bash Trump. You really didn't say many positive things about Joe Biden, except that you like that he didn't go after a sperm digger.
Sometimes in politics, well, that's already this. I think that the Biden family is very interesting and diverse and complex. So it's already an interesting thing that I've said about Biden. But sometimes in politics, you are no more than the value of what you can provide as a tool. In a way, Trump was a tool in 2016. It was a tool for the true right to send a message to the establishment of American politics. We are not satisfied. We are going to pick outsiders to mess you up. In 2024, it turns out that Biden is interesting as a tool. He is a good tool to say to future candidates on the Republican side, we expect more from you than Trump.
You got it. We'll jump into this next question from Thunderstorm says, both parties want my people to disappear. That's not a choice by operant and classical conditioning and economics as a weapon.
I mean, I don't think Donald Trump wants to see white people disappear. I mean, I don't think so. But I think the push for globalism has been happening way before Donald Trump. It's something that's been happening for a long time that he, one person, cannot stop. So
This one coming in from Mega Nerd says, the word that cannot be said on YouTube starts with a V. Say, are made and contain baby organs and.
no, don't even say that on YouTube. But yeah, there are weird stuff in it. Yes, aborted fetal cells. But wait, let's not even get into it. I didn't. What's it?
Is that really
Should we even talk
true?
about that?
This one from
Yes,
Sam.
I think that the YouTube TOS has changed, hasn't it? I
I
mean,
don't know.
that's what I've
I'm
been
just afraid
told.
to talk about the vaccine stuff.
Okay.
It's very safe and
Because they
effective.
removed many of these restrictions.
I know, but I've gotten multiple medical misinformation. Have you ever gotten one of those, Jeff?
I'm not on YouTube anymore, so
Yeah.
I live carelessly about all this.
Yeah, no, that's probably smart. But I'm just telling you, you say anything about vaccines, I've gotten two strikes, but they were 90 days apart.
Juicy.
Okay.
See, this one coming in from Samer Rowe. Good to see you. Samer says to both debaters, in the absence of Trump slash Biden, who would be your ideal 2024 presidential candidates? Or do we need to have JF versus Alex in 2028?
Yeah, I wanted this, JF, to answer this because I brought that up earlier in the debate. I don't know of any good candidates for maybe Ron DeSantis, I guess. Vivek, we like Vivek a little bit, but other than that, I don't know of any shining stars on the political right, in my personal
I would
opinion.
put Nick Fuentes. That's the only thing that would satisfy me at this point.
Hey, Nick is a smart guy, I would say that, but you know Nick is too toxic. He's not going to ever be taken seriously as a political candidate. You don't think that you think that he could really run and have some sort of actual success?
I think this will go down in history as a laughably wrong prediction.
I could be wrong. I'm not saying that Nick Fuentes isn't smart. I'm just saying I think that he has a lot of baggage, you know. And that it's they're never going to let him. The establishment is never going to let him succeed, is my point.
Well, Trump has been accused of sexual assault by 14 women in
Yeah, but you know
2015.
that's all BS, JF. You know he's not assaulting those women. Come
And
on.
so when the times are right, people show up and what seems like a disadvantage suddenly turns to their advantage. And perhaps there is a future in which the political establishment is so unable to meet the demands of the new generation that someone like Nick Fuentes must be put forward to win. And I hope that this day comes.
I would like to see Nick get into politics. I do think he's smart. I just don't think that he would be very successful because he would have an uphill battle because of, people don't like Nick Fuentes. The establishment would not like Nick Fuentes. And the establishment, sadly, you know this too. I think you're enough of a conspiracy theorist that a lot of this is just political theater. You know, it's like the CIA, the deep state. These are unelected bureaucrats that have probably even more power than the president of the United States. So,
Which is what fascinates me. You seem to understand that it's political theater. But do you understand that by voting for Trump, you're giving credence to the play that's in front of us?
I hear that
That you are
argument all the
playing that
time.
game?
Yes, it's that I'm consenting, and I know a lot of conspiracy theorists, that's why they abstain from voting because it's giving your consent. But listen, I vote in every election. I'm going to vote in this election. I'm going to vote for who I think is best. Does our vote matter? According to the 2020 election, I don't think it does. But maybe it'll be different this time around. But honestly, when I, we talk about this whole thing, I think they're going to probably pull a similar scam to what happened in 2020. I think it's going to happen in 2024.
Juicy. This one coming in from, do appreciate it. Sean 666 says, Stein, you actually think a 34-time convicted felon like Trump should be president? Are you that delusional?
Well, I'm not delusional. I believe those charges were all BS. Fannie Willis is sleeping with that guy. I mean, that's the most corrupt kangaroo court that you could ever be a part of. And his crimes, if we want to call them that, pale in comparison to the crimes of Barack Obama, dropping a drone strike every 20 minutes for 8 years on Afghani weddings and Afghani children, blowing up schools. That's an actual crime. Paying some, woman to shut her mouth, $50,000, I don't think is worthy of 34 felonies. And so, yeah, I don't think Donald Trump is a criminal in the sense that they're trying to insinuate that he is.
Wow. Any thoughts, JF?
No, I think that of course Trump has been legally persecuted, so his convictions mean nothing to me. They are just marks of honor that he carries with him.
All right. This one
Yeah,
coming
and
in.
hey, I think it helps him because it makes him more appealing to the black communities too that have been persecuted and. So I think that almost kind of helps them that they villainized him and prosecuted
Yes,
him.
because I remember that you believe that black people end up in prison because of police racism.
I
That
do,
was
and but Jeff, in our first debate,
our
I had to
first
say this.
debate.
Yes, and then but remember, you said that systemic racism doesn't exist, but at the very end of the debate, I said it does exist towards white people, and you did agree that systemic racism exists towards white people. So.
Juicy to say the least.
So, I saw you recently, Alex, eating a gigantic sub in front of Lily. Is that a way to approach woman? Is that your pickup technique?
Yes, that is. I show them my eating prowess so that they know that I'm a man and I can eat a lot. Yeah. That's one of my techniques. Jeff,
Wow.
what's your techniques? What are your techniques?
The
I know.
French accent
And
and
you
your
always want to
approach and
impregnate them. That's your favorite thing, is you get
yes,
girls that you want to
absolutely.
impregnate.
My signature move is direct
Oh.
insemination.
Wow, juicy to see. Very romantic. This one coming in.
Very, he's emotional romantic. Hey, what is he? You call women breeders? What do you call him, JF again? What
We
do you
can jump
call
into
him?
the next one. Danny D. Soul says, congrats, Dr. James. Thanks for your kind words. Says, Alex, are you wearing pants? Wow.
No, I don't. Do not have pants. I have shorts on.
Oh my.
Oh
Okay,
my
this one coming in.
God. Thankfully, we have the transparency that applied to Alex Stein's underwear.
Juicy to say the
Thank you,
least.
Streamlabs OBS. Thank you for a low tolerance transparency.
That's very nice. This one from JC Wilder 86 says, can Alex name one thing Trump passed in 4 years as president?
With the Abraham Accords, you got that worked out. What else did he pass? No, I can't even think of anything good.
Israel.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he did help Israel. What he opened some Keystone
Israel.
Pipeline again. He got oil and gas industry, got our gas prices really low, so he negotiated some of those good deals. But listen, I'm the first one to admit that his first presidency was very flawed, but I think that he was being attacked the whole time. I mean, his campaign was literally getting spied on. They said that there's a Russian gate. It was all fake. They said there was a P tape. They said there was an N-word tape. I mean, it's hard to get a lot of stuff done when your own party is backstabbing you and the media is constantly attacking you. I just think that he had an uphill battle, in my personal opinion.
That's right. Wasn't he allegedly peed on prostitutes? That's even more romantic than JF's comments earlier. We're gonna jump. Let's see. We've got, I think that's actually it for the questions. So we want to say, folks, thank you very much. If you have any last minute questions, get them in quick because we've only got 9 minutes tops. In fact, just a few minutes until I let the guests go. But I want to say thank you to our guests, folks. They are linked in the description. Even if you disagree, there's something valuable to learning about what you disagree with straight from the horse's mouth. So if you're going to critique something, you might as well critique it itself. That kind of gives you, as a primary source, the most familiarity with the topic. I want to say, in addition, if you haven't yet, hit the like button. We do appreciate your support, as we hope you enjoy these debates. We've got plenty more coming up, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button, including Destiny versus Dr. Javad Hashmi, Harvard PhD on Israel versus Palestine next month. You don't want to miss that one. Thank you one last time, Dr. JF Gariepy and Alex Stein. It's been a true pleasure to have you here tonight.
Can I make one last statement? I just want to say this. I want to kind of apologize to JF. JF, there's a lot of rumors about your wife and stuff, and I looked into the conspiracy, and I just want to say I don't think you hurt your wife at all. I do think that it was kind of weird that you let her go off on the side of the road and then let her be an adult. I know we don't have to get into that, but I just want to say that I don't think that you hurt your wife, and I appreciate you debating me. And let me just make this last statement. JF, you're a smart guy. I would argue that you're much more scientifically smarter than me. I'd probably say maybe I'm a little more street smart. Maybe you're a little more book smart. But I think that when it comes down to it, you have the same like of you like Donald Trump is what I'm trying to say. Like, I like Donald Trump. I know Donald Trump's not perfect. You know Donald Trump is not perfect. I feel like you're more upset because of what happened in the first presidency, and you don't like the direction of the second presidency, and that is fine. But I know in my heart of hearts and in your heart of hearts that Donald Trump would be a much better president, even if there are things that you disagree about his presidency, would be a much better president than Joe Biden. And I think that's obvious, and I hope that Donald Trump can prove you wrong and make you happy when he becomes president again.
Well, I accept your apology, and it's one of the very rare times where I hear people apologize when they get it wrong. I did not kill my wife, and
You
I'm
did
happy
leave her
that
on
you
the
are.
side of the road, though. I still think
Yeah,
that's
fuck
bad,
her.
Jeff. That,
She
okay.
deserved it, and she deserved the
Well,
liberty that I
that's a
gave
different
her.
debate for a different time, but I don't think that
But
you
I'm
physically hurt
unblocking
her.
you on Twitter since you
Okay.
apologized. Thank you for doing it.
Wow.
Well, I wanted to correct the record because I don't think that you physically hurt her.
All right.
We are. That's a great way to end. We want to say, folks, thanks for being with us.
Yeah.
We're going to let
It
our
was a great
guests
debate.
go.
I had a blast. JF's going to come around. He's going to come around. Trump wins if they don't steal it again.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. And folks, stick around. I'll be back in just a couple of minutes, not even, with updates about upcoming debates and DebateCon 5 this fall. Thanks so much.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.